Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews 4. Jesus. Got to get close. And you're right. You know, when you're with somebody for almost 40 years, why, you don't ever want to take it for granted. But the reality is that there's an understanding that develops when somebody's there with you constantly, in the good and in the bad. You need to understand that being part of a body, it's not only the good things that are transforming us, it's also some of the bad things that also help us to grow and mature. Okay, so because it's not every good thing, it's also all the things. It's being and doing life together. And as we do and be life together, then there's a transformative effect that happens out of that. That because there's an opportunity to grow, because I don't know about you, but you know, but I do know within me, sometimes there's things that get rubbed wrong, and then I got to learn how to deal with it in a godly fashion. And when I do that, now then I've grown somewhere that I wouldn't have grown before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going off into that. Hallelujah. So, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as a division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, the interesting part is he's referring back. He's talking about the word here. He's talking about what the word can do. He's talking about the word is never lost. The word always knows how to discern the situation. It always knows how to discern the heart of the individuals. And the good news is that he's always there watching. He's always there with you. Now, when I first, and I've said this before, when I first saw that and I understood that the Lord was always watching, that was kind of a scary thing. Because I wasn't real interested in having him always watching. Because, see, there were areas of my heart that I didn't want anybody seeing, much less God. There was areas of my life, there were things that I was doing that I wasn't wanting to be out in the open. But see, when you begin to allow God to mature you, you begin to see, this is my greatest safety factor. Because see, I don't have to worry any longer. Matter of fact, I'm delighted when he's seeing what I'm doing. Because when you're doing what is right, when you're doing what is right in spite of what is good or convenient for you, now it's suddenly a blessing for it to be seen. I know that this was really exciting, apparently. But it is a blessing for it to be seen. If I'm doing somebody right and I'm doing what was right, and regardless of whether or not it was easy and convenient for me, when I do that and I don't tell anybody, but the Lord knows, there's something that happens in your heart. There's something that is birthed out of that in your heart. And see, sometimes we can get to the point where we forget that he's always there. Because see, let's say it this way. The things that we're trying to hold back, the things that we're trying to keep bottled up, the things that we're trying to not let anybody else see, those are the things that actually keep us from finding our destiny. Those are the things that are keeping us from being whom we're called to be. I know individuals that are just so comfortable doing the thing that they're doing and doing it all, and some of them even know what the issue is and still don't want to change it because they're afraid of what it might be. They don't want to look behind the curtain. They see the curtain, but they don't want to look behind the curtain. But see, But it's what's behind the curtain. See, the place of safety, the place of greatest safety is to pull the curtain back. Because then there's nothing else to be heard. Once that's done, there's nothing else for the enemy to use against you. When the Lord said, Satan is coming, but he has nothing in me, that's because there was nothing that needed to be revealed. That's your greatest safety, is to let everything be revealed. And I'm not talking about just coming, I'm going to line everybody up and we're going to all confess. I've seen services like that. It was not a pretty sight. I don't suggest you join them. I'm talking about letting the Lord in, making room for him to come in to everything in our heart. We've been fasting, and well, at least we're supposed to have been fasting, and there's some of us weren't fasting. Some of us were, some of us weren't all fasting. But at the same time, we've been fasting, and one of the things that we're doing in this time is to draw close to God. But in that process, certain things come out. How many people had something come out? If you didn't have something come out, see me after service. I'll help you. I was proud of myself because I didn't manifest on anybody. I thought that was good. I thought that was great. I didn't blow up on anybody. Those first couple of days, I was really just too tired to care. But at the same time, when we're fasting, what we're doing is we're putting pressure on the flesh so that the flesh gets pushed down, so that the spirit man can experience and be let loose in a way that we don't experience every day. But the issue is we don't want to let the process stop. Now that we've got the ball rolling, let's let the process continue going. Because as he continues to minister, he will continue to minister in your life in brand new ways. He'll continue to minister and he'll continue to reveal what needs to be revealed. But also know that as he's revealing things, he's also instilling things. It's not just a matter of dragging out the old, but it's actually a place of having somewhere to put in the new. The spirit within you, the new nature within you, is greater than that which is all than the old man that was there. And so whatever it is that's being taken out will be replaced with something that's better. That's what we have to be focused on, because it's not just one side, it's a continuous growth process. Hallelujah. One of the ways that's going to happen is just to look at Jesus. Let's go. Verse 14. So since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession. But see, recognizing Jesus as your high priest, when I begin to recognize him as my high priest, now then I can let him show me the way to begin to deal with whatever has come against me. I'll let him show me the way how to deal with the offense that came into my life. I know there was, from what George was saying, there was an offense that was trying to come in. But when you come and then you just get with Jesus with it, now you've turned it over to the one who can actually answer it and deal with it. When you turn it over to the one who can answer it and deal with it, suddenly the pressure is off of you. When I take every thought captive, what I'm actually doing is allowing God to have that access into this part of my life. And if I do that with every thought that comes at you, with every offense, with every hurt, if I do that with those things that have tried to define me because of my past struggles, now then, I can begin to see myself through his eye. See, sometimes we get so caught up in having and seeing and wanting, desiring results right now. We are a microwave generation. especially if you have an A-type personality, you want results right now, not in a day or two, not a little bit longer, but right now. But oftentimes what we're doing is we're getting in the way of God every time that we allow ourselves to hold that position. We're getting in the way of accomplishing what he's trying to accomplish because, see, the Lord will use every situation not only to say it's another party that came against you, not only to deal with them, but he's also using it to deal with you. And if all I'm interested in is getting out of my pain, I'm going to miss the joy of the journey. I'm going to miss that which was actually given to me. I'm going to miss engaging his presence in the way that it was intended to. I remember one time I was really frustrated with Aaron and I was pulling weeds and I was thinking of maybe I could just stick little pieces of bamboo underneath his fingernails and make him feel as pain as I did. I know, don't look at me that way. Because I was in pain and I wanted him to be in pain. And I'm thinking about that, and my Lord just simply says, is that the way I treat you? And I had to realize that all of that had to go away. And I had to join him on the journey. Because I could join him on the journey, he could set me free of the pain so that when Aaron did the same thing at another date, I no longer had a place in me for it to land. There was nothing in me any longer for it to trigger. So that when he acted in the same way and in the same pattern, I was no longer responding from that same place. Now this time I could respond out of the Father's love for him and out of what the Father would do for me, I was able to do for him. Change the dynamic of the relationship. You know, sometimes we want to, that's kind of meddling, but. Thanks, Les. I appreciate the encouragement. So, yeah, this meddle with Les now. But sometimes we want to be the victim of a circumstance. You know, because somebody's come and they've hurt us and we want to claim our victimhood. We want to claim our victim stance instead of realizing he created us to be an overcomer. He created us to overcome. And if we'll understand, we'll rise up with the overcomer. We no longer have to come underneath that thing, but we can rise above it. It's a whole different look. But we do that in part by recognizing there's one who comes as the high priest. When we begin to see Jesus and begin to inquire with him as the high priest. When I take the circumstance and I begin to turn it back over to Jesus and say, Jesus, here, this thing is right here. This thing was coming at me. I didn't like the sound of that text that was being released, but Lord, I give it to you. If we do the same thing with a temptation in our life, you know, then the same issue will happen. The same response will happen. Instead of it being something that causes you to go away from God, it actually will cause you to draw into God. And guess what? The enemy will quit trying to press that button. You know, I mean, you know, men, you know, when you see the woman walk across the street and she looks good. And you keep looking, and then you start thinking. See, when you went from looking to thinking, now you crossed over into something that you weren't supposed to be doing. But my point is if you'll take that temptation, if you'll take that temptation, and you lift it up to God and say, Lord, I see this. And Lord, I know that you don't mind me seeing and knowing beauty, but Lord, what was in my mind wasn't beauty. And if you'll take that and just lift it up to him, now it becomes a reason to draw near. A reason to draw close. And it won't take long before the enemy quits trying that same old mechanism. See, the Lord is still with us, watching all the time. You have a Holy Ghost tracker system on you. I talked to some people one time, and they were upset because somebody put a tracker on their phone. I said, I don't care. I don't care if someone puts a tracker on my phone. I'm perfectly fine with that because I'm not going anywhere that God isn't good with. So whatever it is, God is in control. And when I see that, he's right there. But the good news is, see, he's there as your high priest. The difference is, how do I say that? Unlike sometimes our mom or our dad might be there and they're going to be sitting there with a heavy foot or heavy hand, he's there as the high priest, the one who's already equipped to help you and the one who has a desire to help you. I didn't catch that, but. Because, see, that's the wonderful thing about our Lord. He wants to put you in a better place. So what if we flip the script? Instead of responding to the enemy by going to him as our high priest, what if we start considering him as our high priest and loving on him as our high priest and engaging him as our high priest at the beginning of our morning? And as we engage him as the high priest in the beginning of the morning, then we're already situated for whatever comes our way. So that whatever comes our way, we're already placing it in the blood before we even get into it. Whatever comes our way, we're already placing it in his hand before we ever get started with it. Whatever comes our way, we've already removed a trigger. Why? Because we're engaging the one who's the high priest. See, the difference of that is here. For we do not have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, this is the nature of our Father, the nature of our Christ. Do you realize that word help there is a word that describes what they used to do to a ship? And there was a term called frapping or undergirding the ship. So when the ship would be in a storm, and it would be tossed around, and they would be thinking that it was in danger of splitting apart, they would actually take cables, ropes, or chains, and then put them underneath it and wrap it around the length of the width of the ship, so that it would hold the wooden planks in place, so that it couldn't come undone. That's the kind of aid he's talking about. The aid that comes alongside in the midst of the storm to carry you through the storm. It comes alongside to not only keep you as you are, but to make you better than you were. So something that was a weak place now becomes a place of strength. A place that overcomes and a place that is greater than what was there before. When this is released, that aid is released, and there's a change that happens because why now we're equipped for the storm. I would like to tell you that, you know, that there weren't any storms coming your way just because once you accepted Christ, it's going to be smooth sailing. But if I told you that, I'd be lying to you. So, in the interest of truth, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be storms, but there's somebody now who's with you. The difference is you're no longer left alone. The difference is you're not on your own. The difference is there's one who cares enough to be with you, who cares enough to undergird you, who cares enough to wrap himself around you and protect you and hold you and keep you together until you're on the other side. That's the nature of the one who loves you. That's the nature of the one that we serve. When he comes and he's wrapping and undergirding, now all of a sudden that we're in a new position, a position that's where something was a weakness now becomes a strength. Give you an example. No young people, okay. But when in my old walk, doing drugs was a normal thing. It was a daily, constant thing. But then when he came alongside me and began to show me how to mature in him and began to show me and began to grow me in his strength, then there eventually came a day where I was so free of those things that he could ask me to go into a place that no one in their right mind would want to go into, except an addict. I was so changed that no longer did those things hold any pull for me. I was so different that it was just simply, the familiar spirits and things that were hold on were just now just repulsive. And because I could go in, and because I could make a stand and pray, the interesting thing was, I wasn't sure that I had, if whether or not I had missed it in that, because I went into this crack house and they wouldn't give me access to the person. And number one, don't go do that unless it's the Lord who tells you. And then check with me and I'll tell you if it's okay. Yeah, unless it's mentally. So but when I went in and I stood there, then they wouldn't give me access. And I was like, Lord, why am I here? And he said, I just want you to stand there and pray. So I stood there and I prayed. And he said, now you can go. And I left and I thought maybe I had missed it because nothing in my understanding happened. But I drove off and I didn't find out for 2 weeks that as soon as I drove off, Jesus walked into the room and grabbed their hand and just walked them out of the room. And they never went back. They never went back. See, that's what God can do. Thank you, bro. That's what God can do when you allow him. See, what happened was a place that was a place of weakness became a place of strength. Why? Because the Lord was now undergirding it. It wasn't about me. It was about what he can do. It was about his. Now he has changed my character that much. He's changed my understanding of myself that much. I had no need nor desire nor attraction to those things anymore. That temptation was quenched completely. It became a place of strength. And when things like that happen in your life, you take note. Because see, God will deal with every area of weakness. The only thing that's required is for us to first expose it to him. And if we'll give it to him, if we'll give him some room, he'll make it efficient for us. He's our sufficiency. And he will make it more than, he will do what the conqueror always does. He will continue to conquer all the way through. He takes that which is needful and begins to release it into the moment. Because why? He wants to be your sufficiency. He came and he died for us, and he didn't intend for that relationship to stop at that moment. That was just the beginning. He wants us to grow with him. The weakness becomes a strength. The anger that I would walk in over silly things, it caused great disrespect into my life. It brought great disrespect into my life. Why? Because I was responding in ways that to anybody who wasn't in my state, looked pretty strange. When you want to go beat somebody's taillights out simply because they got in your parking spot, it looks a little strange. Don't park in front of me. That's why I don't have to mark my spots. My point is, you cause great dishonor and disrespect to yourself when you're doing those things. But in that state, you don't recognize it. But as soon as I give him space so that he can show me, now I can see it for what it is. And when I can see it for what it is, we can work on it together, because anybody would want to work on it when they see what it is. Something that was a weakness becomes a strength. You don't ever know until you allow God in. It's just a matter of allowing him in. Hopefully your issues are much more sane than mine. Much more safe than mine. But if you allow him in, he can show you and he can take those things out. But he won't just take those things out. He will replace it with something of the kingdom that will set up its own dominion in that space. In those places where those things were happening, now there's a peace and a calmness that I can find, that I can tap into whenever a situation arises, like Sharon using my parking spot. And I can go over and I can bless her in my hearse parking spot. March around it 7 times and bless her. You want to allow God to bring these things, whatever it is. Let's continue the process, because he wants to have dominion. When we allow him dominion, everything's going to look different. Your cars are all safe because it looks different. You can rejoice. They tried to block me in. That was actually the real reason for that. But anyway. You don't do that to a four-wheel drive vehicle. So, there is one, Jude 24, said there's one who will keep you from stumbling. He will keep you from stumbling. Why? Because he puts himself in you. When he takes something out, he puts something of himself in you. And the more he takes out, the more of himself he puts in you. And the more he takes out, the more of himself he puts in you. And the more he takes out, the more of himself he puts in you. And he's going to keep you from stumbling. Why? Because now you have no interest in stumbling. Why? Because your character has begun to look like his. Your integrity has begun to follow after his. Your desire has begun to be for him. And as that happens, there's nowhere left for you to stumble upon. Why? Because you're no longer following after yourself, but you're following after him. Hallelujah. I like that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, there's an interesting end to Hebrews 10. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Because, see, the book of Hebrews is summed up in chapter 10. Everything that Hebrews was talking about comes to a head. Everything that was talking about comes, and he's going to bring it to its conclusion here in chapter 10. And then he begins to show you some practical things for living with the Hall of Faith and practical ways to live after that. But here in chapter 10, verse 11 says, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, and waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected all for all time. For how long? All time. Those who are sanctified. For by one offering, he has perfected for how long? Those of Father's house. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. Verse 19, since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter a holy place by the blood of the Lord Jesus, by new and living way, which he inaugurated us through his veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Something that could not happen underneath the law. When we were under law, the best you could do was make another sacrifice. But you could never stand in the fullness of what the sacrifice was releasing. The best you could do was do another act of contrition. In every other religion except Christianity, the best you can do is do another act to make yourself look a little better, but it never changes actually your heart. You see, it doesn't matter if you're a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Sikh, or whatever. All of those are about what you can do. Only Christianity becomes about what the grace of our Lord Jesus did. So that he could actually one time for all time actually accomplish the purification for those who choose to be sanctified, those who choose to walk after him, those who choose to receive. And as a result, then we can walk with a heart that has been purified by that sacrifice. So that there's no longer even a remembrance of the sin. I have to even think about it hard to remember the stupid things I used to do. I have to think about it hard to just to remember and to understand what those emotions were that were there so that I can give you an example, because it no longer seems like it was me. It really seems like it was somebody else somewhere else at some other time. Because it's not in me. Like Jesus said, it's not in me anymore. Which is a good thing for Sharon's car. It's not in me anymore. You're going to go check on it. This is the nature of our God. Not only did he present us with a way into him, a way to come and fellowship with him, a way to come and engage him, but he also cleansed our heart so that as we're in this way and in this journey in with him, then we can come because we have a heart that is pure before him. Not because of what we did, but because of what our Savior did. I'm no longer depending upon me. And I'm glad. Actually, if you all knew, you'd be glad too. But we rejoice. And should be rejoicing in the house. Hallelujah, indeed. Because we have a great high priest. The one who wants to draw us near. The one who wants us to understand that we don't have to walk around with this heaviness over our heart. A heaviness over our mind. We don't have to walk around in the place of depression or oppression any longer. We don't have to walk around, see, because all those things our high priest is going to deal with. We don't have to walk around with the weight of our past sin upon us. Why? Because there's something that happened at the cross, and there was one who came in and he began to sit down in front of the Father so that you could have an access. And as he sat down before the Father, you no longer have to carry that weight. The burden bearer chose to take that weight for you. Hallelujah. I would ask how many feel or carry guilt, but I don't want every hand to go up. But the reality is, there you go. But the reality is, we don't have to carry that. There's one who already bore it. He wore it for you. I don't have to live in the fear of what I've been. I can live in the joy of where I'm going. I can live in the victory that he already assigned to me. I don't have to look at those things. Because why? Because now when I begin to look at it and live that way, I begin to have an expectation for those things in my heart. Now all of a sudden, I can begin to hold on to the grace that I've been given and extend that grace to someone else. When I extend that grace to someone else, now I'm beginning to look like Christ. And I no longer have those little petty differences with others. Why? Because it's not necessary. Why? Because I received grace. And if I receive grace, I'm willing to extend grace. And I might even go and wipe the dust off of her taillights. Hallelujah. Yes, just because it's grace. So I'm encouraging you. I got to wax it too. Done deal. Done deal. So I'm encouraging you. Don't get sin conscience. Get freedom conscience. Because see, you can get caught up in all the misdeeds of the past, or you can get caught up in the freedom that he's already given you. You get caught up in the standing that he's already applied and credited you with. And if I get caught up in that, then I'll begin to respond to that in my heart. When I began to see this word for what it is, for the freedom that it is, and I began to hold it for the freedom that it is, it began to shift my whole understanding about me and my relationship with the Father. It began to shift my whole understanding about me and my relationship with other people. Why? Because now I can live in a place of freedom. I'm already there. He's already seen me. He's already applied it to me. All I have to do is walk in it. To be free from an evil conscience. And when we do that, we'll rise up in a whole nother way. There's no stopping somebody who's already free. There's no stopping. If somebody's trying to put some ugliness on you and you're already free, it's just like sliding off a Teflon. It just slides right off, doesn't it, George? Just right off. Because it doesn't have to stick. And I don't have to be the curator of it. I don't have to try to preserve that hurt any longer. I can begin to look at the one who already did it for me, who already took it for me, who already gave me freedom from it. And no matter what it is, no matter whether it was a hurt or a temptation or whatever it was, anything that doesn't line up with the life of Christ, I can let it slide away and be focused on the one who is the answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's what it means in James 4:7 when it says submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. When we submit to God, that's what you're doing. You're allowing these things to rise up in you. The acknowledgement of what he already accomplished for you. The acknowledgement of the one who says, you have a heart that can be free of an evil conscience. No evil in your thinking about yourself, about your past, about your present, about your future. Amen? God bless you. All right.